going to do that. Can you do that one more time? I don't know how you can sing that and not have a praise. I don't know how you can sing it and not be wanting to come to the mic to say, just if it's nothing more than, you know what, God is so good to me. I'm just going to give a praise, my praise this morning. My family, when I was a junior in high school, and my family went first time to a Church of God, which, like, God had that all planned out and got me there, and it's where I met my husband. It's where God got a hold of us. It's where God's poured in history. It's where God took us to the UP, where he changed us. He got us here following that. The pastor who was at that church when I walked in that door, it was a Sunday evening. I remember it so clear. It was me and my dad. And he passed away this week, that pastor. I'm so thankful that God puts people in your life to get you where you need to be, to share things with you that you need to hear. And before we go any further in the service, before we talk about the word this morning that I just believe God has for us, which lines up with all of this, lines up with Andrea's testimony perfectly. If you've got a praise, doesn't have to, I'm not looking for a 5-minute praise. I'm looking for, this is what God did, and this is who he is in my life. That's what I'm looking for, a praise this morning.
I share this with a couple people already, but I have been questioning what I've been hearing from God in the last couple weeks, at least. And God reminded me, Pastor had me do something a while back where I had to look in the mirror until I saw God in the mirror, and I had kind of walked away from that because I knew in my head, not in my heart, but I had been questioning it. 2 weeks ago, I was looking in the mirror getting ready for work, and I remember that, and God just kind of like jerked me and says, "Who do you see in the mirror?" So I'm just thanking God because he reminds us of what we forget. It's like, stop questioning what I'm telling you. Stop questioning. Look in the mirror and see who you are. Look in the mirror and see me. Look in the mirror and remember who I am. He kept just saying, look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. And he wouldn't let me go that morning. It was really cool, but kept just saying, look in the mirror. Don't forget. Quit questioning what I'm telling you. Stand on what I tell you. And he just kept saying it over and over and over. So I just thank God for that.
So a lot of people don't know this, but I fell on ice probably about 10 years ago, maybe. But I went from working like 40, 50 hours a week to being at home and unable to work completely. I went through several doctors, several surgeons, several MRIs, CAT scans. And I'll tell you what, not a single doctor help me. I still get nervous up here, you guys, even though I'm here every week. But what God did for me, I'll tell you what, I was on a walker at 36 years old, and no doctor was able to help me, no surgeon. And one day I was in bed. I hadn't worked in about 5 years. I was fighting SSI. No one wanted to help. I had a bunch of doctors standing up saying she can't work. Didn't matter. It seemed like every battle was a lost one. And One day I was getting up out of bed like I did every other day, but I was so, I'm sorry you guys, I get nervous up here, but I feel like I need to share this. But I was so, like almost ready to give up. And I am a really positive person for anyone that really knows me. My glass is always half full, no matter what. But I was pretty down. I was like, why am I even here? I can't move, can't do nothing. And I was laying in bed, and I would always get up. I would have to lift my leg one at a time over the bed. I couldn't even lift it on my own without my arms. And one day I'm laying in bed and I go to lift it like every other day, and the loudest pop I ever heard came out of my body, and I could walk. I could jump. I could stand. I could do everything. And now I work 50 hours a week, and on my days off I'm working, you know, doing other things. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I'm in tears too. So I praise the Lord because the Lord let me have a Bible study without a Bible. Every word he gave me, just like he says, if you open your mouth, he will bring the words back to you, and you will be able to use those words that he has planted within you. And every question that came up, he answered. And I had it, and I had the attention of about five people in the break room. And two of them were questioning me and sharing and didn't know how they could get out of some of the hurts that they've had all their life. And one shared about losing their mother and not being able to go in and see their mother because they always spent time with their mother every day when they were in a nursing home. And during COVID, they weren't allowed to go in, and she lost her mother. And the nicest thing was is to let her know that she did not have to live in this grief. And for her to understand that, and she shared to me what type of religion she has always gone to. And I said, but God does speak to us and God does heal us. And so I'm looking forward to the opportunity because I know tomorrow's another day. Tomorrow's going to be more questions. Because the day after, they said, we missed you this morning. And I said, but I couldn't because I had an appointment I had to go to. And I'm sorry, but I'll be here tomorrow is what I told them the next day. And I was there the next day. And so this week, there's been at least a half a dozen people that I've been able to talk to, answer questions. And God is opening that door because I don't know how long my time is. But I want him to open the door for anybody that needs him and wants to understand who he is and how he speaks to us. So I praise the Lord for that.
I praise the Lord because about 2 weeks ago, I started a second job, and I was told prior to that that my season was ending at Planet Fitness. And I loved working there, and I had a hard time stepping into the ending of the season and the loss of the people, the members, and things that I would not see or thought that I would not see when I left there. I finally put in my notice, and Thursday of this week was my last day there. And some of the people that one of the employees and things that I had some issues with actually came up to me and on one of the nights that I had come in and said, hey, I haven't had a chance to see you, but I wanted to apologize to you for the things that I've said and the way that I acted towards you. And he goes, I know that it was all me, and it was my attitude and things that I had to change. And he goes, you did absolutely nothing wrong, and I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that. And I just thank the Lord, and I praise him, because he has allowed me to have my season and my time there, and he's allowed me to see on some of the things, some of the areas that he has worked through me there. And he has also given me, brought back to my thoughts and my mind that in the scripture where it talks about the joy will come in the morning, that sorrow is only for the night. Well, I was thinking about that, and I said, Lord, morning can be not just the light of day, but morning can be in the sorrow and stuff. And he's like, yeah, it can. He goes, I can come to you. I can bring you my joy in your sorrow. He goes, when you are mourning a loss of something, he goes, come to me and I will give you that joy. And so that minute, his Holy Spirit rested upon me, and I just started laughing uncontrollably for like 5-10 minutes. And I was like, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence and for letting me know that I am listening. I am in the right path. And my job, my new job, is absolutely wonderful. And I've got new, like, I'm able to get new hours and lots of hours and stuff on days. And I just know that it's the right path for me, because every other door, every other job that I applied for, he closed the door on. And I asked him to do so. So my next journey, I'm taking with excitement, and I'm taking with him, and we'll see where it goes.
You all know Lynn, my friend from the house. She is now going to another place for church, but she likes it here. She likes the noise. She likes everybody. She wants to thank you for having her over here and enjoying it. She's got smiles on her face. I mean, she got me thinking, why is life like this? I had another lady yesterday come over to me and say, you guys are doing good. I said, it's God that's doing good, not us. It's what you think about him. It's what you are to him. And one person spoke up and said, I'm God's child. That made me cry, because I thought, well, I did something. God knows I'm doing it. But I still run into that stupid door that keeps blocking me. But I know I tried to break out of it, and Satan came back and said, why did you break the door? I said, I don't want that door there. Give me a break. And he did.
Well, I praise him because, as you know, he never goes back on his promises, and I'm literally just standing here because of him. But also, spiritually, I am where I'm at, because over and over and over and over, he placed wonderful spiritual people around me for their wisdom and their discernment and their correction, and I praise him for that. Amen.
Got a lot to praise God for. I'll just pick a couple things, but I guess one thing I've been praising God for lately is just the way He prepares your heart and your mind for the things that we go through. And just, the Bible says that God doesn't give you anything that He doesn't feel you're strong enough to handle. And I've been sitting on that, or standing on that, really, and just, I just praise God for a deeper understanding of when we go through things, we don't always see on the other end why we go through the things that we go through, but I just praise God for the understanding that there is good reason.
That's right.
And, yeah, I've just been praising God for just preparing myself, my heart and my mind, and just being in a place where I can go to God first when I'm met with anything.
Father, Lord God, we just humbly come before You, Father, and we thank You for who You are. Father, we are just so blessed that You chose us, Lord. You didn't have to, but You did. We just thank You, Father. We give You praise. We give You honor. We give You glory. We just ask that You settle on Prophet this morning. God's people said, amen.
Father, I just ask that You just continue to settle in this room, open our hearts to hear application. Lord, the word does no good if we don't know what to do with it. So, Lord, I just ask for that this morning. Trust in You. Give me the words I need to say that it's from You. And open our hearts and minds. Amen. I was reading a book. So I'm doing this today because I was reading a book. And the book, it was all about healing. And it's by a guy, his name is T.L. Osborne, and he was a missionary. And over the years that he did ministry, he had like, I think they've got like 3 million recorded healings. And I've been reading anything I can about healing. And so but the more I read this book, the more it just sunk into my heart more and more and more that this is not really about healing. I mean, it is. That's what he thought he was writing about, but it's not really what he's writing about. He's writing about what the cross purchased for us. He's writing about really understanding the promises that are in God's word and how do we stretch our faith to claim hold of those promises? And the more that I, and what the cross, you know, like really truly what the cross purchased, the more I read this book, the more I just could not get away from it. And so I finally told the apostle, I says, I got to preach. I just got to share this because we need to understand this. As a body, we need to understand this. And we need to let it sink in. It needs to become innate in us, just like we know our names. It needs to be able to flow out of us in that fashion, so it's so natural coming out of us, because the cross purchased more than just salvation. Salvation was one aspect, and we're in Lent, we're coming up into Easter. I want you to be chewing on this. I want you to be thinking about it. I want you to be praying about it. I want you to really understand coming into Easter this year, in a year for Pine Grove that's supposed to be a year where we see a lot of things happen. It is, you know, our legal document. I'm not going to get into all of that, but the fulfillment of a lot of what God's promised this congregation. He's talked to us and told us. And those are the things that the cross purchased. It was much bigger than salvation. Much bigger than you just get to go to heaven. Now, that's pretty amazing, but that's not what he has us here for. He has us here on this earth to demonstrate. It says in the Lord's Prayer, it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're supposed to bring heaven down here. And what helps us do that are God's promises. And so we're going to talk about that. And I hope you did your homework. I asked you to come up with some promises. I hope you did your homework. So we're going to go. I've got a slide just because I knew I could get off track really easy. And I also wanted you to have a visual on some of the things that I want you to see. I came up with this equation, and I want you to see the equation, and we're going to work through it as we do this today. So I hope you're ready to interact with me. I want you to, this Romans 4, I'm going to read it. This is all about Abraham. This is a summation of what we're going to talk today. And it's all in these three verses. Romans 4, and he's talking about Abraham, who hope against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Now, I'm just going to put this together as we go through this. You are Abraham's seed. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the New Testament says that you are grafted in. You are one of the adopted children. You are one of Abraham's sons and daughters. And so when he speaks promises to Abraham, he's speaking them to us. Okay? So everything that comes out from Abraham is everything that's written in this book that we hold sovereign is for us, being not weak in faith, okay? He considered not his own body dead, you know, that he was 100 years old and his wife was old and they couldn't have kids, and yet God promised them a child. And they held on to it. And he says, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God, he was able to perform. Now, we can read that, and we can say, oh, yes, I know, and that was really good, and I know that Abraham had a son, Isaac, and yada, yada, yada. We don't apply that to what he told us for us, but this holds true for us today, and this is going to be our foundation for today, is if we understand how to grow our faith and our faith does not stagger, and we know the promises of what God has told us, either him talking to us in our spirit or through his written word, and we are fully persuaded that what he can accomplish, what he says he will accomplish, then we get the results that Abraham got. Just go to the next one. So this is the equation we're working off of, okay? It's my equation. I took what I found written, God's word, and I've kind of put it into this. We have a relationship with God, okay? That means that you've accepted him as your Savior. That means that he is talking to you, that you hear his voice. However it comes to you, it might come intuitively. You might just have this knowing. It might come in dreams. It might come in visions. It might come through an audible voice. It might come through scripture. It might come through somebody speaking to you. So we have this building relationship with God. We add the knowledge of God's word to that, okay? And I'm going to stick today with what's written in the Bible, because whatever God is whispering in your ear and into your spirit, you have to find support for it in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible and you're hearing it in your ear, then it's the wrong voice, right? Okay, so we're going to do knowledge, plus it's a relationship with God, add knowledge of God's word, and an unstaggering faith. You know, it talks, it says, you know, don't be like those who are tossed to and fro, like the, you know, the waves, you just get tossed around. Don't be like that. Be unwavering, unstaggering faith equals promises fulfilled. Promises fulfilled. So go on to the next one. So I'm not even going to deal with this because we talk about it so much, but I want you to know this is that relationship piece. It's my sheep know my voice and they follow it. That's all I'm going to say about that, because I want to get on to the other things this morning, and we talk a lot here about hearing God and building relationship with him. So just move on to the next one. So knowledge of his promises. I gave you homework today. I asked you to come with promises. Specifically, I mean, and you can have promises that are good and you're just holding on to, but how about promises that you struggle with? So who came with something? Who has stuff that they know that's in there and yet you're struggling because you're not seeing it or you have a hard time believing it for yourself? You'll go? Okay.
I'm struggling with it, I'll be honest. And I don't know if I even applied this wrong, because I was thinking attributes for some reason it promises. But I did the 2 Corinthians 9, that joyful giver. Be a joyful giver. Okay. Because a cheerful giver. Because, and it talks about giving abundantly. And when I get, and he gives out of abundantly out of a cheerful heart. He'll still give, but to give above and beyond, because I'm cheerful, I struggle with that still.
Yep. So we have one with struggling with being a joyful giver. And I'm going to pull these together and use some examples here, but I want to get several of these on the table first. So who else has one? Pastor Betty.
This comes out of Romans 8, verse 6, and it's the last half of the verse. Just says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And for me, that is staying focused, because he's always said, you stay focused on me and I'll get you through everything. But that's a real struggle sometimes with what you're going through, is that staying focused.
Yeah. Somebody else? Talitha?
Isaiah 40:31, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and so on and so forth. And just the waiting is really hard, especially when it's waiting for a set period in time, but you don't know how or what's coming after the waiting.
Okay. Anybody else? Sonia's got one back here.
One that I've been holding on to for a number of years now is Jeremiah 29:11. The plans I have for you are not for harm, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. And that one I have struggled with, sorting out that the things that happen and I understand are a part of God's plan. He makes all things, even the bad things that he's allowed to happen, he makes them good for the good of me and for the good of the kingdom. And that's something that I have struggled with, and that's why I've held so tightly to it, is because he has walked me through showing me bit by bit that his plans are not for harm. He's held me in those moments where I felt that it's been from him. My emotions have taken over. He's in the plans to prosper. He's shown me that he's been there to to give me the things that I need at the moment that I need it. And so he has walked me through that to stretch my faith and grow my faith in that promise.
Okay. Any others? Andrea?
This is a few scriptures. In Matthew, hold on. Matthew 10, 27 through 31. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in your ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, before you are more. Do not fear, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows.
Okay. Charlie's got one.
James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Amen. Titus has one, I think. Titus has one.
Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So we could go through several of these. I want to kind of give you an idea of where we're going this morning. Do you have one? Did you have one? I didn't want to miss anybody, and you're sitting with your phone, so I didn't want to miss anybody.
What? Oh, you got... Okay. We're good. Mine was the whole by your stripes were healed, and then also a little bit of Isaiah 38, 16. And the pretext of that was just kind of talking about being in not a very good place. And, oh, Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the spirit of my life. Restore me to health and let me live.
Okay. I'm going to use health as an example. That's a it's like kind of reading my mind, Dugan. When we went, especially coming into Easter, you hear it a lot. We're in Isaiah 53, where it's the verse that Dugan's talking about. It says, by his stripes we are healed. And in the Hebrew, that word healed literally means healed physically. So we go through times where we're struggling with, let's just say, health issues, and oh my gosh, awesome testimony, because this is what we're talking about with Mandy and her testimony today. We've seen the same thing with Betty. We've seen the same thing with others. I mean, where we're sick for an extended period of time, and we read those scriptures, and yet we don't really grab hold of it with true faith, with a faith that is not, that is unstaggering, to hold on to it and believe that when God says, I went to the cross, and when I went to the cross, I went not to just bring you salvation, but when I had my stripes, when they whipped me, it brought you healing. Think about that. And then I go to, and then I'm thinking about it, and I was like, where else does it say that? Well, it talks in Exodus. He says to all of the Hebrews as they're in the desert, he says, I am your physician. I'm the one that heals you. 5 million men plus women and children. Nobody's sick. How does that happen? And they sure didn't have all of our environmental, you know, like sewers and clean water. They didn't have any of that. They're out in the desert. They don't even know how to take care of themselves because for 400 years they've been slaves. And yet, God says, I am your healer. Or how about in James, go to the book of James, where it says, if you're sick, call the elders, have them pray over you. See, when we have problems, when we talk about that equation, just go to the go to the next slide for a minute. When we go to the equation, if we've got a relationship with God and we're in his word and we know what his word says, if we're not applying it, you don't get promises fulfilled. When it says, like I told you, like with the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. Is anybody sick in heaven? Is anybody in pain in heaven? Is anybody sad? Is anybody depressed? Does anybody have mental illness in heaven? None of that. He says, I want you to walk it out here. Now, I'm not telling you that everybody's going to get healed. I'm not telling you that because we see from his own word that even Job, that God allowed sickness to come to Job to bring a testimony. We know that Satan comes before him. It says in Revelations, every day the accuser stands before God, just like Satan stood before Job and said, well, if you just let me make him sick. So I'm not telling you that that everybody is going to be healed. I'm not telling you that because God does have a purpose. There are people out there that will tell you that. What I'm telling you is that we walk out what his word says, and when we have relationship with him and we know his word, then we can say, Lord, is this a Job experience or do you have a healing? Because if you tell me that I'm going to get healed and I see all these promises in the word that tells me that I can have healing and you want us to be in a good place and you want your people to be healthy and you are the great physician, then I can hold on to an unstaggering faith. And as I hold on, and I'm not telling you it's going to be tomorrow because God's word says that his timetable is not like our timetable. We know this. But why aren't we applying it? I want to talk about, so there's so many that we do. There's one about protection. I want to tell you the story. Some of you have heard this story. Some of you probably haven't. We were doing ministry in Ohio. And in Job, it says, there's this whole in chapter 38, and it talks about even the lightning bolts, before they come to earth, that they have to report into the Lord before they leave heaven, before they leave the storehouses. We were in Ohio, and this mother brings this little boy to me. He was probably 9 or 10, maybe just a little older than Titus. She brings this little boy to me, and she says, I don't know what to do. Can you pray over him? Because every time there's a thunderstorm, he just freaks out. He's terrorized by thunder. I didn't have the slightest idea what to do. I'd never run into anything like this before because this was kind of early in ministry. But I remember the scripture, and God drops it in, and that's when you know his word and you've spent time understanding what he tells you about his attributes and what he has for his people. He brings it back. Why? Because Matthew 10 says, at that hour, I'll give you what you need to say. It's another promise. The Lord reminds me of the scripture in Job 38. So I open my Bible up. I sit down with this little 9-year-old boy, and I said, do you know what this says? This says that even the lightning and the thunder, before it leaves heaven, God has to give it permission. And God has to send it to the place it's supposed to land. So do you know what? You don't need to worry about it. Because Jesus is controlling this. And do you know? And I went on. And I said, and do you know? And I went over to Matthew chapter 18. And I said, do you know here it says that Jesus is talking and he says all of the little ones have an angel. Do you know you have an angel that's just your angel? It says it right here. And that angel's there to watch over you. And that angel knows exactly where those thunderbolts are going to land because that angel is talking to God because God assigned you that angel over you. So they're talking. So you don't need to worry. It was months later, we were back down in that same church. The mother comes up to me and she says, we've never had another problem again. Why? Because he took what was written and he applied it. He grabbed hold of it. He didn't push it aside. He took an unstaggering faith. And we're supposed to be childlike. It's like Joel. I'm telling you, last 2 weeks, was it 2 weeks ago? It was 2 weeks ago. When Apostle's talking about new wineskins, and Joel gave a testimony the next week because Titus, who has to, very rigid, has to be in bed, 9 o'clock. If he's not in bed, he's having a meltdown. True. It's true. I'm going to tell him something he doesn't know. When he would come to spend the night at Grandma's house, at my house, I'd turn the clocks back so we didn't have to worry about it. I'm sorry. But the thing is that, because I didn't want him worrying, but what happens is in the middle of this sermon about faith, walking your faith out and having a new wineskin, God settled on him, and he leans over to his dad, and he says, I don't have to worry about sleeping anymore, going to bed on time anymore. You know, 9 o'clock, I don't have to worry about that anymore. And Joel's testimony was, we've not had one issue all week. And I'm telling you, this last night was the first time he spent the night at my house. I did not change the clocks. I didn't have to. Because what he told us. And I didn't even say anything about it. He just says to me in the middle, because he wanted to watch Lord of the Rings. So in the middle of the Lord of the Rings, he leans over and he says, Grandma, I think I'll go to bed at 9:30 tonight. He's at this. He had such a major shift just like that. Because he grabbed hold of being a new wineskin and understanding, walking out faith and that God was going to take care of him. And we are supposed to be childlike. We're supposed to be like the little boy with the thunder. We're supposed to be like Titus who says, God says it, I can do it. It's that simple. He says that he gives us, he says he gives us strength. He promises us, we mentioned the plans. I have plans for good, not for harm. He talks about fighting for us. Fighting for you. So when you're in the midst of an ugly battle, and I don't care if it's with family, which are really ugly, can be really ugly, or work, or financially, I don't care. He says, I fight for you. If he's fighting for you, then why the stress? Why the anxiety? Why the loss of our joy? Why these things? He says, you're never alone. I am with you. I'm walking with you. Oh my gosh. What a word. If you go on to the next one. This kind of, and again, I'm just reminding you of things because in Hebrews 11:1, it says faith. Remember, we got it. We're trying to figure out how to have unstaggering faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, it's amazing how God does this, but this last week, and I had already told Apostle, I really think I need to talk. If you don't mind, I'm going to send you to junior church because I'm supposed to be doing junior church. So you might want to say prayer for the kids because it could be rough down there. Okay, so. I had already told him that I really needed to talk about this. On Tuesday of this week, we had this conference that we had to sit in. It's, of course, I'm online and it's all of that, but I had this conference. They brought this lady in, and what was she talking about? Hope. I'm like, of course you are. Like that. The cool thing is, this is the one thing that I took away from it, which just blew me out of the water. She's not a Christian. She's just talking about hope as the world understands hope, okay? The definition of hope, if you look it up in Webster's, means desire with anticipation. She says, do you know that there is this old English word that hope, our current word hope, is derived from? And it is hopian, H-O-P-I-A-N. And if you research the full definition of what hopian means, it means to leap ahead with anticipation. Now, desiring, I can just sit. And I can desire an ice cream, which I do because we've been on a diet. Okay. I can just sit here all day long and desire. But if I hope in, I'm on my way to the store. Do you get that? There's action. The real word, the base of the word hope, has an action to it. And that action piece, I love that hopian. I'm gonna have to cross off the word hope in my Bible and put hopian in there. Because there's action to this. And action is, I'm doing everything that I can do. Action is, if I go back to the health stuff, that means, oh, well, James says to call the elders. So, okay. If I'm struggling and I'm not doing well health-wise, then I am going to call the elders. I'm going to have them pray over me. Heck, it doesn't say how many times. I'm telling you, I'm to the point, and I've been pretty healthy most of my life, but I'm telling you, I might, if I ever, and then if I was somebody who was really struggling, man, I might be up here every Sunday asking somebody to pray for me. Because I'm putting my hopian into play. I'm bringing action to it. I am reading everything in the Bible that there is about health. I'm reading everything there is about bringing joy in troubled times. I'm reading everything I can about struggling when life is so rough. I'm going to read every verse I can, and I'm going to keep playing them over and over and over and over, because like Andrea said, Satan is there, and we joke about it because you don't see it so much in today's cartoons because it's all Paw Patrol, okay? But in my day, when we had kid cartoons, almost every cartoon, at some point, you were going to see this little devil sitting here and this little angel sitting here, right? And one's whispering into you. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys are too young. But those of you who are older, you're going to know that, right? Yes? Yes. Because that's what Satan does. He just sits here and whispers in your ear and tries to beat you down. And Andrea said it right. You just have to decline. I'm talking to everybody. I am telling you, how many times do you get spam calls on your phone and it's like, nope, cancel that one. Nope, cancel that one. Nope, cancel that one. But somehow we don't do that. We don't even think about doing it in those terms when Satan is trying to steal God's promises from us. And that's what he does, because that's what the word says. It says, I come and steal and destroy. I love the analogy. Jesus declined. If Jesus did it, it's exactly right. This is leaping into action and taking some, and just don't sit there wanting your ice cream cone. It's like, get up and go to Wares and get your ice cream cone. That's what this is. I know. It's my ice cream buddy back there. Okay, this is that leaping ahead. But why don't we do it? We are in a year where we're, you know, the Lord had said 3 years ago, we should see some fulfillment of things happening in this church body. I'm excited about that. But what are we doing to help leap ahead with that anticipation? So go to the next slide, if you will. So this is another visual for you, because I just had to kind of, I'm putting scriptures together. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith. So how are we going to grow that faith? How are we going to get to the point where it's unstaggering? I mean, yes, I'm going to act on the promises, but in addition, so this is like this cycle, and this is a really cool thing, because this is what God does with us, okay? So faith comes by hearing, so that relationship, okay? Whether God's whispering in your ear, you know, you're reading something, you've committed to him. My sheep know my voice and follow me and do what I command. Oh my gosh, that can be challenging. So when you're in a difficult situation and you're somebody who might normally blow up, you're just like a short wick, you know? You're the dynamite keg with the short wick, okay? She said it, I did it. Okay? This boy here, my husband, no, they got a wick that goes a mile. I have a short wick, like a very short wick. Gets shorter with some people, okay? I'll be the first one to admit it. No amens. So, but as I work on that relationship and I read what he says, and he says, you're supposed to be like me. You're supposed to be like me. Why aren't you like me? Lori's testimony, all of these testimonies played right into it. She's looking in the mirror. Who are you seeing? You seeing yourself? You seeing him? You seeing your default button? What are you seeing? So if I am going to build my relationship, then I have to hope in. I have to take leap and take action and anticipate and start moving to be Christ-like in every situation. So we're not manipulating. We're not intimidating. We're not functioning in fear or worry. We had, financially, we had a rough couple months. Oh my gosh, we had, the truck was totaled. We got it paid off, thank goodness, but the truck was totaled. Then the dishwasher quit. Then the washer and dryer quit. And I'm like sitting around going, wow. And I didn't even have to worry about it, because I was just like, I was so not me. I can't even tell you how not me I was. Like, because me, I'm going to be like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? It wasn't me at all. I'm like, okay, we can go to the laundromat. Like, totally not me. And when I hit those moments when I am so not me, it feels so good. It feels so good. Because I know that, you know, the skate, you know, the circle that Apostle does where you're trying to get at least, you're going to try to get past that 50% where you got more of Christ in you than you have of yourself. More of Christ than what you do your default, using Andrea's thing today. It was amazing. It felt so good. I didn't have to worry about anything. It was like, okay, whatever happens, happens. Dirty clothes is not the last thing in the world. I mean, that's not going to do anything to me. So building that relationship so that I can then apply his word. All things work together for good. So when Sonia's worried about or struggling with Jeremiah 29 that says I have plans for good, not for harm, and then I go, where can I find support for? Where else can I read this? And I go over to Romans 8, and it says all things work together for good. All. A-L-L. All. You apply the knowledge, then we start to see things visualized. We start to see results from our promises come true. We start to see, it might be in steps, because like what we talked about in Bible study following last week's message about the dry bones, you know how many times God told Ezekiel to talk to the bones? It wasn't once. It was talk to the bones, talk to the bones, talk to the bones, talk to the bones. It was a process. It's a step by step. It's not always instantaneous. And so as we are watching promises, unseen things come to life. It could be immediate, but it could be step by step by step by step by step. We've seen some immediate things in this place. What Mandy talked about was immediate at that moment, but it wasn't immediate the 5 years leading up to it. It doesn't mean you give up on the promises, because God's word is always true. He does not work on our timetable. He says 70 years is just like a vapor. That's a vapor. But you found the right way. So, but when we're stressed because nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening, you've got to go back to his word. And you've got to see what he says. He says a day is like 1,000 years. He says that 70 years is like a vapor. So if I wait for something and I've been working on it for 3 weeks and I don't have an answer, that doesn't mean an answer's not coming. But are we going to hold on to it? Because when we see the promises fulfilled, then we grow in faith, and then it starts all over again. This is how the cycle works, to expand your faith. Absolutely. 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 I'm gonna talk about Apostle just a minute, because this understanding of seeing unseen promises visualized and over the course of time, not always immediate, this is another crucial part of this whole circle that keeps going. Is, I don't know, it was in 2001. And the Lord had just spoke, and he had a word, and he was, you know, we were going to travel to Africa, and he was going to have his own network, and there's all these things that God was going to take and move and use him and do. And so being inexperienced and new at the whole really Holy Spirit walking in holiness kind of thing, we're just kind of looking for that to just start happening. Oh no. Our first trip to Africa was 9 years later. And then jump forward, he still doesn't have a network, but jump forward to the end of 22 and the beginning of 23, we've now got groups of people in Africa who are asking. It's almost on a weekly basis. He gets a different pastor, sends him a message, begging him to start our own network. And just in this week alone, he's had some state pastors reach out from the Church of God, whoever figured that would happen. But God does things. His timetable. And they're wanting him to do some stuff on a national level. We had a word about him in the near future being gone more than he's here. It's one of the reasons it's so crucial that you grab hold of this so that you're standing strong where you're at that point when he has to be gone sometimes more than he's here. But it's starting to unfold. When you see promises that are unseen, when you see them start to come to the present and they become visible, then your faith grows. And then it just starts all over again. Every time you see a promise fulfilled that you've seen in the Word and you've held on to and you believed for, it's like... I don't know. It's like cloning on steroids because it just keeps repeating itself and it gets bigger every time. And you get more and more able to, you know, there were time, and I'll just go back to the financial things about the laundromat, okay, and all these things dying at the same time from December through end of January. There was a time when we were in the UP doing ministry at this. There's times I didn't have any food in the house at all. None. We waited for the cops to give us a call that we had a friend on the force, and if they saw a fresh roadkill out on U.S. Highway 2, he would call us right away. He'd said, there's a fresh one out there, and Apostle would get in the vehicle and go pick it up. Or I'd wait, and the Lord would drop somebody. Somebody would just bring me a bag of groceries out of nowhere. See, over the course of years and times and seeing God just provide, 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 provide. My relationship with him was growing. I kept reading more about how he takes care of his people. He says, I know the number of hairs on your head. You don't need to worry. And I'd see him provide for us, and my faith grew. So I get to the point in January when the Fabulous Four, the truck, the dishwasher, the dryer, the washer, all at the same time. And I'm just like, okay, we're good. Let's do this. Isn't that the best way to live life? And you can do this with every single aspect. You know, we can do this with relationships. You know, I have family who, it breaks my heart. You know, we're not allowed to talk to them. I haven't seen three of my grandchildren. I don't know how many years. 9, 7 years. But you know what his word says? His word says that your grandchildren are a glory or a crown of glory for you. They're a blessing in your old age. I just figure that's telling me I'm not old yet. Because in my old age, I got three beautiful grandchildren that I get to spend time with, and I love that. But when you have family that's missing, there's always a hole in your heart. But I'm telling you, it says that in your old age, they will be a blessing. It doesn't say some of them. It says your grandchildren. That's how you hold on to his promises. And when he says that you'll be multiplied, you're going to be multiplied. You can do this with every single promise in his book and hold on to it and walk it out and let him show who he really is. Because all that's going to do, it's going to bless you. It's going to give you a testimony. Your faith is going to grow. It's, if at all possible, it's going to become even more unstaggering, unwavering. I was reading, I'll just close with this. I was reading, I'll have the worship team come. Again, it's one of those timing pieces, but I'm always looking for books, and even though I'm not done with the ones I'm in, I'm always getting smarter and reading smarter. And I started this, it's, what did I say, Touching Hearts of Fire, Lori, is that what I called it? It's eight stories, individual stories of women who in the last, say, 40, 50 years have been persecuted for their faith. Indonesia, Russia, China, Pakistan. And I'm talking about girls as young as 13. One of the stories is about a 13-year-old. She gets kicked out of her home. Her father is trying, and her brothers are trying to kill her. These women, they end up in these prisons overseas where, like, one of the women is shoved in this black hole, is what I'm going to call it. 200 people in this little room, 200 women in this little room, not even a, I'll just say, not even a pot to pee in. And I did say that in Sunday morning search, okay? Not even a pot to pee in. So there wasn't even a bucket there for them. 200 of them. Not enough food to pass around. And through all this, this 13-year-old girl, all she's got is the promises that she remembered from the Bible when she had her Bible and she was reading it. And she would just recite her promises over and over and over what God told her. So when they would bring her out almost daily because she was witnessing to the other prisoners in this little tight cell, and they talk about the rats coming in and the rats would chew on them at night. And, I mean, it was awful. And I'm reading this and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. We can't even hold on to a promise that says God will provide for me. And yet this little girl has the worst of worst conditions, and she's holding on to a promise that says God is never, he never leaves me. He's so when she, day after day, when they're taking her in, away, you know, they pull her out to beat her and whip her and burn her and all these other nasty things that they're doing, she just keeps testifying to the guards. She just keeps recounting to the guards all of the promises of God. He loves you. He will never leave me. I'm not alone. I have joy. I am here because he placed me here, because he had a plan for my life, and this is what my plan is. Then I'm good to go because he's going to work on my behalf. And we can't even hold on to promises that talk about he will bring you joy in hard times. He will give you strength in situations that you don't know what to do. He will walk beside you. We can't even hold on. We've got it so good. It has made us a bunch of wusses. It is. It is. I'm telling you, in this year of when God told us back in 20 that in 3 years, you want to see fulfillment if you walk this out with me? You want to see what God has for you? What I have for you as a church, as a congregation? Grab hold. Deepen your relationship with him. Know what his promises are. And I'm telling you, you don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. Man, all you need to do is get on your crazy cell phone and say, what does the Bible say about? And it'll throw out a bunch of verses for you to hold on to. Nobody said you had to memorize stuff. But as we hold on to them, because we're his seed, he says, I'm going to pour into you and you're going to see the results of that. I'm going to give you a testimony. And your faith is going to grow and it's going to become unstaggering. And when your faith becomes unstaggering, that gives God room to do something bigger. But if you're going to sit here and you're going to worry about and you're not going to apply what he's given you, he can't move you. Because you're stuck on that cycle, on that wheel. We need hope, Ian. We need to be leaping ahead, grabbing hold. And we need to be fully persuaded that what God has promised, he will be able to perform in you. Philippians chapter 1, it says, he will complete the work that he started in you. There's another verse, same thing. He'll complete the work. So the plan that he had from the day that you were born, God had a perfect plan for your life. He wanted you to do this and this and this and this and this. God has permissive will. And if you don't want to follow, he's not going to push himself on you. But if you want to be in that place where you are fulfilling what he called you to do, we've got to move through this. Know him, know his promises, work at applying them, grab hold of the unseen because he'll bring it to the visible for you. Give it glory to God, the testimony. The faith grows, and we keep doing this. That's that song, Glory to Glory, that we sang today. Everything fit into this perfectly today, and they didn't know where I was going. Because that's what that song means, glory to glory to glory, higher and higher and higher. We're gonna. I'm going to have the worship team close, do a song for us. The altar's open. Listen. I don't know what promise you're struggling with. I don't know what issue you're struggling with. But I'm telling you, God has an answer here. You can talk to him in your pew. You can talk to him up at the altar. You need somebody to talk with you, to pray with you. You want some verses about your promise that we can get to you so you can hold on to them. We'll help you with any of that. But if you're sitting here this morning and you're like, I know that I have a hard time with this issue, talk to him, spend time with him, and think about letting someone pray with you and speak words of life into you. If you need verses to hold on to, let us know. We will get them to you. God has so much that he wants to use you and pour into you. Don't settle for hope when you can have hope in.